we thank you all again for joining us, as it's that time of week again for us to tell you all about Iran. So stay with us and stay with Iran. Now, I think it's safe to say that everybody hates traffic. However, it is something everyone has to deal with on a nearly daily basis. And as, of course, we've mentioned here before on the Iran program, Tehran is absolutely no exception. With some of the most congested freeways and roads in the entire world, the average Tehran rush hour driver wastes over an hour and a half a day in slow or stop traffic. Tehran municipality has put public transportation at the top of its priorities of its urban policy, and the opening of the Tohi Tunnel is one of the many projects dedicated to solving this traffic situation in Tehran.
Tehran in the 60s, a quiet city with a population of less than 3 million. Tehran today, a city where many believe is home to more than 10 million inhabitants. It is where 3 million cars and, of course, 2.5 million motorcycles run up and down the streets every single day. During its history as a city, Tehran's delicate climate and green gardens have been the magnet to attract people. Today, most of those magnificent gardens are gone, replaced by large apartment blocks and beautiful buildings. But the trend of this extensive growth hasn't exactly followed the pattern of a modern urban development. In other words, Iran's capital city has in most parts only expanded its traditional alleys, worrying less about how to connect them together. During the past two decades, Tehran's municipality has constantly tried to find solutions on how to tame the city's monstrous traffic and to connect the sophisticated old streets and alleys to a modern road system. After years of hard work, the results are paying off. This man has undoubtedly one of the most difficult jobs in Tehran. Mohammad Baghir Qalibov is the mayor of Tehran, and therefore difficult to reach. I caught up with him as he was planting trees in one of the parks in memory of some of Iran's late artists.
I have always said that the citizens are the first priority in every city. I mean that cars should not conquer the entire city. Through this vision, we started our work in older districts of Tehran, places which are a reminder of the good old Tehran. We are going to reconstruct such areas according to their original traditional architecture and prevent vehicles from coming in.
Nowadays, modern Tehran boasts its sophisticated highways and metropolitan facilities. Urban projects are seen almost everywhere, and jam-packed streets are beginning to give their place to exclusive bus lines and subway entrances.
I think heavy traffic is a global issue. Today we have high congestion of cars in many countries. This is due to the high production of vehicles and limited capacity of streets and highways. The efforts by Tehran's municipality cannot be ignored. I think building these new roads have been 30-40% effective in easing the traffic.
The Tohi Tunnel is the latest example of a successful transportation project in Tehran. Tehran's Tohi Tunnel project is considered as the largest civil management project in the history of municipality in Iran. The tunnel is 2 kilometers long and it connects two major parts of the city which have the most amount of traffic. You might be able to find tunnels like this in other countries in the region, but what is important is that Tehran's municipality has been able to completely design and build this tunnel using domestic know-how. Built at a cost of over $400 million, the tunnel connects two major north-south highways, namely Chamron and Navab, together, considerably cutting trip time in the heart of the city. This major traffic project was completed in February 2010 after 31 months of round-the-clock work by professional local engineers and workers.
If we wanted to connect the Chamron and Navab highways only by stretching them together, we had to rip through 10 different intersections. The Tohid underground tunnel was aimed at easing traffic in a way that would not tear the people's social connection on the two sides of the highway. Today, the areas above the tunnel still maintain their link.
Experts have estimated an annual saving of 26 million liters of gasoline and an 11,000-ton decrease in air pollutants with the operation of the tunnel. Adapting a city, which was first established without any comprehensive engineering planning, to a modern urban road and transportation system is not an easy task.
I think the BRT bus service is great. They carry people around day and night, but still we have a long way to go until the traffic is fully controlled.
Here at Tehran's Traffic Control Center, the chaotic traffic of Tehran is monitored 24 hours round the clock.
روزتون بخیر خانم ها آقایان، شنونده خبرهای ترافیکی شهر تهران هستید از مرکز کنترل ترافیک شهرداری تهران.
Responding to all requirements and managing this ocean-like metropolis is a task that requires tailored planning. It is a work that has to be done only by Tehran experts and only in Tehran. I'm Emiti Kazemi for Iran.
Now, one unfortunate common ground or universal problem we all as human beings share, regardless of race, creed, gender, or religion, is the horrific effects of disease. Up next, it's time for us to join Mahak. Now, Mahak is an extraordinary effort by Iranians to ease children suffering from cancer, having assisted in treating over 2,000 children affected by cancer in Iran and neighboring countries. Mahak's sole aim is giving these children a new life. And its success lies in its love of humanity, giving these affected children the hope to live. For more about this exceptional center, it's time for us to join Ms. Lezgi as she takes us to the Mahak outpatient housing facilities. Let's join her now.
On the northeastern hills of Tehran, a few kilometers away from the busy streets, there is a modern cancer treatment center for children. Mahak Hospital runs entirely on public donations and provides free-of-charge services for its patients. I went to the hospital to find out just how these donations are helping children who need it the most. When a child is diagnosed with cancer, his parents are first referred to the hospital's counseling center. Here, they are introduced with the many kinds of support that they will receive during their child's treatment process. Mahak covers all the expenses such as drug and hospitalization bills, chemotherapy and radiotherapy fees, as well as transportation. The children also receive regular counseling, as well as free clothes and toys.
اینجا هم که تشریف آوردیم مؤسسه خیریه محک یه NGO غیر دولتی، غیر سیاسی و غیر انتفاعی هستش. مثل تمام NGO ها با کمک های مردمی از یک دونه آب میوهی که اینجا میاد تا تمام این ساختمونی که الان توش هستیم و تمام با کمک های مردمی هستش.
Since many of the cancer-stricken families come from other provinces and usually have no place to stay in Tehran, the hospital's welfare center provides them with well-equipped rooms where they can stay for as long as it is required.
در این اقامتگاه مثل یک هتل ازشون نگهداری میشه و تمام امکاناتی که در اختیارشون گذاشته میشه همه به صورت رایگان هست. بعد با خیال راحت هم غم مسئولین این هست که اینها با خیال راحت فقط به کار درمان بچه‌شون فکر کنن.
There are 30 rooms in the welfare center, as well as a kitchen and a sitting area for the families. The playroom, however, is probably the most favorite of the children. In the playroom, the children get the chance to catch their breath and share happy moments with each other. Social workers and volunteers are also there to help them engage in group activities. One of the mothers staying at the welfare center about the kinds of support and services she received there.
می‌خواستم بگم که همه جای این امکاناتو نداره چون ما که از راه دور میایم بالاخره مکان برامون گذاشتن که خب بتونیم بمونیم. شاید مثلا من الان یک ماه و خورده‌ای بودم، یک ماه و 15 روزی که اینجا از لحاظ غذا، پوشاک، وسایل بهداشتی، هر چی که بخوام، هم خودم هم بچم، حتی شوهرم هم میتونه از این امکانات اینجا استفاده کنه.
Mahak's unique programs and services are funded through the generosity of various foundations and individual donors. The hospital gives away free deposit boxes to attract public donations. It also holds seasonal charity fairs, exhibitions and concerts where all the proceeds go to the charity. Believes that no child should be deprived of treatment because of poverty. In this hospital, families no longer need to worry about financial matters because with the help of Mahak, they can now concentrate on their child's future and hope for the best. Hoda Lezgi, reporting for Iran.
And now it's time to learn more about the advancements of medicine here in Iran. Doctors at the Hematology, Oncology, and BMT Research Center are using stem cell transplantation to treat many diseases, including acute leukemia and acute lymphoma, with very high rates of success. This research center is regarded as one of the top bone marrow transplant institutions in the entire world, with its successes seen in all the countless lives saved by the dedicated doctors and researchers at the Institute. Please enjoy as we share with you an insight on the outstanding work taking place at the Hematology, Oncology, and BMT Research Center.
The Hematology, Oncology, and the Stem Cell Research Center of Tehran University of Medical Sciences, which is located in Shariati Hospital, has been established since 1991. This center is one of the largest BMT centers in the world and is one of the remarkable international BMT centers due to its performing a great number of successful transplantations. It should also be mentioned that this research center is able to train 10 fellowships at hematologists and oncologists per year.
At the present time, transplantation is the gold standard treatment in malignant disease and genetic disease and immune deficiency disease. And we can also use it for other diseases. Why we started the treatment with the stem cell treatment, with the stem cell transplantation? Because the patient, particularly acute leukemia patient, they died before this treatment. The first transplantation in Iran is performed 1991 in a Jung sarcoma, and one day later in an ALL refractory patient, and later on in AML refractory patient. Of course, successfully, and they are living at the present time. Our center established 1991 with four wards for transplantation. We changed it in later time, one ward to pediatrician, the pediatric department for transplantation. And we had also two oncology, hematology ward, and we have a clinic for the outpatient. And additionally, we organized an outpatient clinic for transplantation also. And we have also a lab for research, and we have a department for data managing. That is the centers. And in later time, we organized and cord blood banking. At present time, we collected over 1,000 cord blood for future transplantation.
In hematology, oncology, and stem cell transplantation research center, we perform different types of tests, including flow cytometry for immunophenotyping of hematological malignancies, stem cell enumeration, and research projects, as well as cytogenetic tests for detection and prognosis assessment of hematological malignancies, HLA typing at low and high resolution levels for matching of donor and recipients of hematopoietic stem cell transplantation.
We have a close cooperation with IBMTR, International Bone Marrow Transplantation, and we have the cooperation also with EBMT, European Bone Marrow Transplantation, very close cooperation, and we are doing all the study together. What we are doing in this center? We are doing and we are transplanted over 50 different diseases in this center. What kind of diseases? The diseases is acute, first of all, is acute myelogenous leukemia. We transplanted till now 667 patients at present time, till now. And the late, and the another disease is very important, acute lymphocytic leukemia. We transplanted till now 346 patients. What is our problem in our country? That is thalassemia major. This is a genetic disease with anemia, and that is our problem. Therefore, we are one of the largest number in the world we transplanted in this center. That is, this center is second countries in the world that performed thalassemia transplantation, thalassemia major transplantation.
Now there's a famous Persian saying that goes a little something like this, Anorator Shirin Hichvak Nemishe, which can actually be translated as saying, sour pomegranates will never taste sweet. The saying can be found actually in many variations throughout many different cultures. And although this may be true in many cases, some of these cases not even involving pomegranates, today we're going to join Mary as she shows us how to appropriately mix sweet and sour taste, Persian style.
Hello, I'm Mary McCarthy, introducing you to another edition of Persian Cuisine. Today I'm going to make some sweet and sour stuffed chicken, and these are the ingredients you will need. One large chicken, one large onion, 250 grams of plums, two apples, 150 grams of raisins, 250 grams of apricots, one tablespoon of sugar, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, a needle and thread to sew the cavities of the chicken, some oil to baste the chicken, a little bit of salt to rub over the chicken, and 1/2 teaspoon of saffron mixed with some warm water. Now, I have already chopped my mixed fruits, the raisins and the apricots and apples and plums, all together here. And with my onion, I have chopped my onion and it's ready over on the cooker frying. If you'd like to join me over to the cooker, we just saute that a little off there and pour my mixed fruit back into the mixing bowl there. Now I've fried my onions and my mixed fruits together here. To this I add my sugar. Now I stuff my chicken. Here I have my chicken. As I say, I've already washed my chicken ready and cleaned the insides out. We just pop the mixture. Okay, now comes the exciting bit, sewing the chicken up. Just a little bit more in there. Sew the cavity. This is the good part. There we go. Just wipe my hands there a little bit. Now, I put some of the salt over the top of the chicken and his legs there and on the other side. Just hold on to his leg there. This is like being a painter, decorating, sewing, everything in this. There we are. I have to take it out and cook it for another hour. I'll just pop it over into the oven for now. Now I've already preheated my oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Just pop my chicken in there. Now the first step will take about an hour. Now my chicken has been in the oven for an hour. I'll just take my oil and saffron over there and check my chicken. On there. Let's close that. That's very hot. Now I'll take the lid off there. Steam there, pop it there, and baste again my chicken with oil. That's lovely, make it lovely golden brown colour. Pop it over there, a little bit more oil on his leg there, his wings, and again the saffron. Spread that all over the chicken to make it a golden brown colour. And I have to pop my chicken back in the oven again. That's hot. There we go. Now my chicken is going to take another hour to prepare, so would you like to join me later on in the dining room? And here I have my sweet and sour stuffed chicken, and for dessert I have some cream puff swans and some watermelon in the shape of a parrot. I'm just going to take some of my chicken here, just cut it there, take a little piece over there. Let's just try and see what this is like. Delicious, a unique flavour, you must try.
we all hope that you all enjoyed this week's show, because we enjoyed preparing it for you. And don't forget, your emails really do count, so be sure that you keep on emailing us, because we love hearing from you. Email us at Iran at presstv.ir, and see you next time. Stay with Iran.